We're back here at Mary's Diner on Watertown Avenue in Waterbury. And we got the backstory. This was a Friendly's, but before that it was like a farm shop. And so there's a history even in this building. And when it comes to histories, actually, Waterbury is a big part of Congressman Johanna Hayes' history on a personal level. And she joins us now live on Brian and Company, getting her coffee, getting things started right. First of all, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
Good.
You hanging in there?
Absolutely.
So Waterbury, I mean, this is your place. I mean, you taught here. You were born here.
I'm a Waterbury girl.
Yeah. What is that? And what does Waterbury mean to you?
I mean, everything. This is the community that raised me. This is my family. I always say this is where I've lived, worked, worshiped my entire life. I know the people in this community, and they know me. But I think more importantly, I believe so deeply in this city, just because everybody talks about, you know, the challenges here, but really overlook all of the promise and the possibility in this city.
Well, I have to tell you, I've been in a lot of New England cities that were great in the Industrial Revolution, who it took a long time to even find their footing. It seems like there's a fair amount of optimism here, actually. I mean, there's been population growth, manufacturing's, you know, it's certainly not the, you know, the heyday of World War II with the brass and, you know, the war machine, but I feel like the city is doing better than I thought it would be doing.
I think a lot of people have the wrong impression of this city. There's so many people who work in Waterbury who just believe deeply in this city, who are invested in the city, family businesses that have been here forever. Everywhere I go, even before Congress, you mentioned Connecticut, where you're from, Waterbury. People have a connection to Waterbury.
Well, let me ask you this, though, and this is an honest question. You look at the demographics. You know, my father-in-law was born and raised in Waterbury, and he's 88 now, and he has this loyalty, and he looks back on it. Do you think the next generation will have that same bond? Because everyone I talk to is older than 55, and they feel this way about the present, but I wonder if the younger generation here will have a torch carrying, or if it's just a different world.
I think there's a part of us that still belongs here. We saw that a couple weeks ago at the gathering. Waterbury is a city of neighborhoods. You have strong ethnic neighborhoods. People hold on to their culture and their heritage, and it's celebrated here, and it always has been. And I think we see a lot of that in the city, and that's why I think me, as someone who grew up here, am so open to other cultures, because that's just what you become accustomed to. So I think that it's a weird dynamic where people can have just a loyalty to the city, but also really strong cultural connections to wherever they came from before they came to Waterbury.
You know, in the next block, we'll get into a little more politics, and we only have like maybe a minute here, so maybe I won't get fully into it. But you know, when you were teaching here, like when did you want to stay? Is it like, give me a little more personal story. Like when did you? I mean, being a teacher of the year naturally changes everything, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, is when you were here, did you think about other things, or is that like that's what I want to be doing?
I never aspired to politics. All I ever wanted to be was a teacher, and I imagine I would finish my career in Waterbury because I loved it. Even when I was Teacher of the Year, I would get job offers from everywhere, you know, for different positions, and I said, no, Waterbury is where I belong. So Congress was a shift, but I'm still representing these people just in a very different way.
A lot of eligible voters walking in, Congresswoman Hayes. We're here at Mary's Diner on Watertown Avenue in Waterbury, just an historic street. I mean, food, I mean, you have Frankie's hot dogs, you got Nardelli's was started here. It's just an incredible morning. And Mayor Caggiano from Bristol, both his parents were born and raised in Waterbury. I mean, it's kind of cool whenever we do these things. You know, Congressman Hayes, first of all, we appreciate you being here for us. I know you're busy with, what do we got, like 2.5 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Are you holding up okay? You getting sleep?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know how you can sleep. I wouldn't be able to sleep. But, you know, we had George Logan on earlier. I don't know if you're able to listen to part of it or most of it. And I want to use today as mostly a chance for you to give your last pitch to our listeners. We have a lot of listeners in this district, and a lot of people are interested in this race. Why are you better than George Logan for this position?
Well, I mean, I'm from this area, as we've already established, and I've taken all of those experiences and the things that I'm hearing from the people who live here to try to solve problems, and I have a demonstrated record of doing that. I mean, outside of the larger Democratic wins that we've had, like the $5 billion in infrastructure that has come back to the state, all the jobs that have been created, the PACT Act, you know, helping veterans, the Inflation Reduction Act, which has lowered the cost of prescription drugs. I've had individual wins where I've been able to work within the Congress to say, well, listen, I need something specific for my district. You know, this is what I'm proposing. I've gotten 2 wild and scenic designations passed to protect almost 100 miles of river. I've gotten bills passed. When you talk about Waterbury, I grew up hearing the story of Billy Smolinski. I got legislation passed to make sure that we can help find missing persons. I've had 11 bills passed based on the things that I've heard from the people in this district, bills to support veterans' mental health. So while my opponent, while Mr. Logan talks about bipartisanship, he can't point to a single thing that he's done to deliver results. I can tell you what I've done as big Democratic proposals, but also having to work within the Congress and get things done. I've gotten bills passed under both President Trump and President Biden.
He said, you know, I don't have a chance to vet this stuff, but it may be true. He said you have a 99% partisan vote, voting record. Is that true?
I don't even know where he got that number from, but if you're talking about vetting numbers, I think you should look at his record with Connecticut Senate Republicans. He voted with them all the time. He never broke party. And on the things where he did, things like the budget, he wasn't the only one, so it was no profiling courage. So he talks a lot about my voting record, but there's a reason why. You know, the last time George Logan ran against me, he had been in the Connecticut State Senate the exact same amount of time I had been in the Congress, and he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. He didn't talk about his record. He didn't talk about what he would do, but all he talked about was me. And even now, he's doing the same thing. He has a voting record that he's not talking about.
We're talking with Congressman Johanna Hayes here on Bryan and Company. I watched the debate and I've talked to George many times. I mean, the talking points are immigration and affordability. Mm-hmm. I'll just give you quickly, in my opinion, affordability is not a partisan issue. Inflation was a global issue, and it's arguably come down more appropriately here than in any other developed nation. I'm going to put that aside. Immigration, I think, is a fair criticism, and I think that we can talk about it, but like in terms of moving here forward, whether you acknowledge or not that it is an issue that needs to be addressed, what do you think we should be doing as it relates to this issue?
Well, absolutely, I would acknowledge it, that it's an issue that needs to be addressed. I think everybody looks at it and sees that it's an issue. I don't think any Democrat is saying that we don't have an issue with immigration. The challenge is, how do we do that? We put forth a bipartisan immigration bill that Donald Trump told Republicans to reject, and they did. The very first bill that the Biden-Harris administration put forward was an immigration bill that was immediately rejected. I've been in the Congress and seen these things go back and forth, you know, like a pinball. We have an immigration issue, but the way we solve that, we've tried to get assistance for Border Patrol agents, tried to get more judges, more agents to process cases, because right now people who are presenting themselves for asylum are following U.S. law. But we can do that in a humane way. You know, we can do it in a way that doesn't separate families, that doesn't criminalize people, that doesn't paint this picture of every person who immigrates to America is a criminal or is dangerous or is poisoning the blood. That's just not true. So we can address the problem without demonizing people.
I think the rhetoric is. So I think the initial thing that was done in the administration, I don't have a lot of knowledge of it, but I don't know if it was a change maker. And the bill you're talking about that was tabled in the Senate, I actually didn't like the bill. I thought the number of daily crossings was too high, and I didn't think it had enough teeth in it necessarily.
But whether people like it or not, you can't just do nothing. You keep working at it, you negotiate to a better place, and then you take a vote on it. My Republican colleagues like to use it as a talking point, like to tweet about it, but they haven't presented anything. They're not trying to negotiate to the middle. So, yeah, it's not going to be one bill. It's not going to be one legislative package. It is going back time and time again, and every time we see a problem, you know, working to fix it.
I have two last questions with Congressman Johanna Hayes here on Bryan and Company. If you win and Democrats win back the House, how does that change your role? Is there any committee thing that any growth to your leadership position or anything like that? Do you know what would happen if you were to win and Democrats would get the House?
Well, when we were in the majority, I was the chairperson of the subcommittee on nutrition on the Committee of Ag, which is a really important committee. It is the committee that provides for all of our nutrition programs, our senior meals, our farmers markets, all of those things.
Would you go back to that?
I would absolutely. I chose that committee, so it's very likely that I would be the chair of that committee again in the majority, and I'll continue the work. I've done so much work on food security, on school meals, on, you know, strengthening the WIC program, on making sure that these programs were not cut in our overall budgets. So I would continue to do that because 1 in 7 children in our state go to bed hungry, and that is just unconscionable. And I would continue to work to make sure that we have permanent lines of funding and permanent programs to make sure that people are fed. That's very important to me.
We have, you know, roughly a minute and a half left. I don't think I'll get a chance to speak to you before the election. I just, you know, again, for our listeners, just give your, you know, your closing statement on your desire and ability to lead this district.
Well, I mean, like I said, I believe in this district, and I have a proven record of delivering for this district. I can point to legislation after legislation that I've supported, that I've voted on, and that I've had passed into law that has helped the people in this district. My opponent, George Logan, can't say the same. And actually, what he says depends on the room that he's in. It's not a gotcha question to say you support the top of the ticket. That's basic when you're running for a federal office, and he can't even do that. You know, 2 years ago, he said he would not codify a woman's right to choose. Now he's saying that he would. You know, he voted against law enforcement, and now he's saying that he's their biggest champion. So his record does not match the words that he's saying. He voted against, you know, people accessing housing assistance in the state. He voted against child care workers. All of these things that he's now saying that he would support, all people have to do is look at the record. So I would encourage people to do their research, to not look at top lines and headlines, but look at what I have actually done, look at what he has actually done, and literally think about what kind of country they imagine going forward. You know, our democracy is at stake. January 6th, we should all be able to agree, should never happen again. And the whataboutisms in the debate were just not normal. You know, we should be firm that this was wrong, it should not happen, we all agree on this, and how do we move forward? And I just see here a lot of, you know, weaving in and out on these issues. And if he can't speak directly to voters in this district, I don't know how anyone thinks he would stand up to, you know, some of the most extreme members of his caucus in Washington. And I've done that time and time again. They're literally running ads that I'm the only one who voted against the Democrats, you know, on the fentanyl bill, because I read it and I know what it said and I know how it would affect this district. And it did nothing for harm reduction. It just was mandatory minimum sentences with no discretion for a judge. And I know that we have to address addiction differently. Everybody has someone that has suffered from addiction that they love, that they want help for. You know, so there should be a distinction between a teenager and a trafficker. And I'm willing to vote against my party when I feel like they're not being thoughtful and intentional on legislation. He can't say the same. Well, he can say it, but he can't point to an instance of that. And I just encourage people to do their homework, you know, and show up. This is going to be an election about turnout. There's great enthusiasm on the ground. Every proof point that we have just shows that people are fired up and they're ready to continue the work and move forward in the next election.
Congresswoman Johanna Hayes, again, we're grateful for the time and wish you the best of luck.